Welcome back to the Simply His Coffee Shop, everyone. If you have missed the last couple of episodes, we have been talking about parenting with a purpose. And I know I'm speaking biasly, but I have even learned so much about being a good parent and how I can do a better job. So please, please, please go back and watch the previous three, because we're on the last one that we're going to do in this segment. Let me introduce to you our guest again. Our guest attended Drury University and received a degree in elementary education and a lifetime teaching certificate and a minor in communications with the writing emphasis. She has been in educational field in some capacity for the last 30 years. She has founded two different schools. She is passionate about helping and teaching parents to raise God-fearing children and be productive citizens that will change the world for the kingdom of God. Please help me welcome Deanne Daniel.
Thank you. Thank you. It's my privilege to be here. Thank you so much.
Well, speaking for myself, but I'm sure the audience as well, we have so totally enjoyed the last couple of weeks with you, and they're just so informative, and we're
timely.
So blessed.
Very timely.
Very timely that you have agreed to do these shows with us. So thank
honor.
You for
thank
being
you so
here.
Much. You're very welcome. It is a really important topic. Raising our children is
absolutely.
Such an important thing that God has entrusted us to do.
Absolutely. So today, there's that whole question, because we've been talking about if you're in the trenches right now with your children, but a lot of parents maybe are out of that phase and they have adult grown children and they're wondering, well, where did I go wrong? My children are not following the Lord. They're not doing the things that we believe that they need to be doing or know that they should be doing because they're not following Christ. And there's a scripture, Jeremiah 31:16-17. But now this is what the Lord says. Do not weep any longer, for I will reward you, says the Lord. Your children will come back to you from the distant land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, says the Lord. Your children will come again to their own land. That's powerful.
It is. There's another scripture, too, for those watching. They could write this down and look it up, and that's Isaiah 49:16-25. And it says more of the same thing. I think a lot of times we use the scripture in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. But the problem with that is it says, and he'll not depart. But you're talking about a child who has departed.
Right.
So use the right scriptures, because the word works.
Yes.
And we have to rightly divide the word. And so when we rightly divide and use the scriptures, that those are promises of God. And
absolutely.
It comes down to, do we believe the promise of God or not?
Right.
And
yes.
These scriptures say, he will come back from the land of the enemy.
Yes.
Bless the Lord. Claim that over your children that have gone awry, no matter how they were raised, whether it was in a godly home or maybe you just found out about the Lord too late and they were already out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
God has those kids and he knows who they are and he is true to his word. Claim those scriptures over them and claim that. And God is faithful. He is faithful.
Bless absolutely. His redeeming power.
Yes.
And I know you have had to deal with some of this.
With Joe, he's a stinker. I'm just going to not lie. He was a stinker. He was the one that you said, if you've got one of those that's hard to raise and they're stubborn or strong-willed, that they're a leader. And he definitely has proven that.
As absolutely.
That theory is for real. When he was 3 or 4 years old in his Sunday school, the teacher came to me one day and she's like, I just don't know what to do with him. He's just so ornery. And I told Joe, I said, Joe, let's pray. And I asked him, I said, do you want to ask Jesus into your heart? And he's like, no. Okay, then. I guess you know what you want. But what had happened is he came back to me a few days later and says, Mom, I'm ready to ask Jesus into my heart. We're talking about a 3 or 4 year old child here that you would not really know what cognitive understanding do they have about Jesus coming into your heart. But he said the prayer with me and he went back to Sunday school and the teacher asked me again. This time her face was different and she's like, what have you done with your son? I says, I haven't done anything. And she says, well, he is totally different this week. He's like respectful. And I said, the only thing I can tell you is he accepted Jesus into his heart. Now, not to say that that's where the story ended, because he did accept Jesus into his heart and he did make a change. But, you know, he's still growing. And after that, I'll put it shortly by saying he spent numerous hours in a corner with his nose to the wall thinking about the things he shouldn't have been doing. That happened. As he grew up, he was a challenge all throughout his life. He was never that guy that was stealing cars or getting into that kind of trouble. He just was like always testing the grounds. But you always knew where he was because he was right in your face. Having said that, Joe is a great leader, and he did come back, and he is one of the most diligent people for God.
Yeah.
I mean, everything he does, he's not a perfect person, neither am I or any of the rest of us. But I know that deep down in the heart, well, you've talked about heart. He has got that heart that every mother wants their children to have. All of my kids do. But I'm using him as the example today because he was my hardest one to raise.
You said something there that people need to understand. And you said that he was testing the limits. What I thought is he's doing his job. The children's job is to push the limit. Parents' job is to hold the line.
Yes.
And they are going to butt up against the line every time. They're good at their job. You know, they're really good at pushing. But your job is to hold that fence. I always think of it as literally like a fence of protection around your child. But they want to push it. And when you give in and you scoot that fence back a little bit, and then they push, they're going to butt up against it every time.
Yes.
But your job is to hold the line. It brings such security to children when you hold the line and they push on it. When you look back over the last 18 years, you've developed something wonderful because you held the line every time they pushed up against it. And they're going to do their job and they're going to do it well. Yeah. They really are. But the security that I know my parents mean what they say and they say what they mean. Mm-hmm. Let's go back. Look to your child's future. What does God do? He means what he says. He says what he means, and he doesn't lie. And it just builds such security in your kids when you hold that. Yeah,
I just want to throw one more thought out there. I'm hearing Catherine giggle as I talk because she married the same child I raised. So I want to say something, and I hope this is okay to say. So as a kid growing up, I would say to him, "You're going to have a kid just like you." But the sad part about that is that she is now the mom, and that was not fair to her. So don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. Don't tell your
kids. Go back and listen to the segments about how we speak. Life and the power of the tongue.
Yeah. I had to throw that in there because I don't think you should be telling your kids you're going to have
one just like you.
No curse. No. There's no mercy.
It is.
I don't think he got one that's just like him anyway.
No.
Thankfully, God had mercy upon us.
I'm just saying that when he married her, my heart was like, oh, no, I did a bad thing.
You can break every family curse. Bless the Lord.
Yes, for sure.
I do think that there are a lot of parents out there in that boat, if you will, about my kid has gone astray. And so I think those scriptures in Jeremiah and Isaiah are so important. But what about the parent who has a tiny little one and they're just starting out? Again, do we believe the word of God or do we not? Is his word true or is it not? And I'm telling you, I took Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And I always put the emphasis on he will not. And now this is not a reflection on anybody who has had a child. I want to make that really clear. I'm not saying if your child has gone astray that there's condemnation, because the Bible says there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And here's the thing, condemnation and just putting yourself down, that doesn't do any good. That doesn't help. There's no condemnation, and it's really important that we really get into the ploy of the enemy and just accept God's grace, his forgiveness, his mercy, and move forward with the information that we learn. I think that's really, really important. In Proverbs 22:6, we dared to believe that scripture was really true when our kids were tiny. And it's just so good. You can believe all of his scriptures and train them up in the way they should go. The word train there can also mean to create a desire. Mm-hmm. So you can read that scripture, create a desire in your child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from that desire. So go back to what we talked about the heart, that discipline is not about changing behavior, it's about changing the heart. Mm-hmm. You just gave us a beautiful example of that. When your son got saved, there was a difference they could see. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the way it should be. And so if we can create a desire in our child's heart in the way he should go, then be that mama bear and just fiercely take that scripture, stand on it, claim it, speak it over your children, and just see what happens. I dare you to see what happens. In 20 years, family is not microwave. Right. It is slow-baked.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, when your kids are raised, I can't tell you the blessings that you get to sit back and really finally understand Proverbs 31, that her children will rise up and call her blessed. Mm-hmm. It's a great place to be. It is great. Let me give you a practical example of train them up in the way they should go. It's very spiritual, but it's also very practical. What is it my child is supposed to do? So we train them, yes, in the Word of God, the spiritual side of that. We train mm-hmm. them in the spiritual side of loving God and knowing what the Word says. But God has a plan for him or for her. So what is it that God wants them to do? What is the call on their life? Let me give you this example. So my son, Justice, he was 16 years old and he was in a public high school. And I'm doing laundry one day and I put jeans in there. It's like, what was that clunk? He had taken a large pocket knife to school.
Uh-oh.
Well, it's the 21st century and they don't let you do that.
Yeah.
I mean, back in our day, you could go hunting in the morning, leave your gun in their truck. You know, it was no big deal. But today,
that earns
you a criminal record in the public school. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, Justice, why on earth did you do this? And he went on to explain that they had had some training about an intruder in the school. And they said, just find something like a stapler and throw it at the person who is the intruder. And he said, Mom, I'm really supposed to throw a stapler? How am I going to protect my classmates with a stapler? And that was his thinking as a 16-year-old.
Right.
So train him up in the way he should go. His protective instincts are off the chart. This one time we were at the fair and the military had a little booth there and they had a little simulation of shooting the bad guys. And it was amazing what Justice did. It was amazing. And so the Marine said, would you like to try? And I said, no. And he said, well, what are you going to do if you're in a situation and you need to, you know how to use a gun? I said, I'm going to stand behind him. I'm going to stand behind Justice is what I'm going to do. Because his protective instincts are so high. So he, in his heart, he's trying to think, how can I protect my classmates and my teacher? Mm-hmm. And so knowing that, we made sure that, you know, we did whatever it took to help him in that vein.
Mm-hmm.
He did some training with the local police department. He was blessed to go to the Missouri State Highway Patrol Academy, which is very interesting because his peers voted him to be chaplain of that camp.
How funny.
It's so interesting how God works this out. But see, we are training him, setting him up to succeed in the way he should go. As his parent, I should know, and I can know by praying in the Holy Spirit. He'll show me these things. So he went to a college, and he earned a criminal justice degree. He met a missionary girl there. She was raised in Africa, and they got married. And so go back to the Missouri State Highway Patrol, where he was the chaplain in the Highway Patrol Academy. So he is now in training to go overseas and do missionary work, share the gospel, but in the vein of anti-trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. A very spiritual side and a very practical side that we as parents can know. But it takes time. It mm-hmm. takes diligence. You have to know what the Word says. But it's so worth it. It is so worth it.
Talking about training, a visual for that for me is like the time and the patience that it takes. These little trees that they weave, they'll put two or three of them in a little pot and then they'll weave them in and out.
Yes.
That doesn't happen overnight.
Yes.
They have to help those little things grow the right direction as that plant grows.
Right.
That takes a long time to get there. But when it's done, you have this beautiful. But just that visual helped me to remember that this is not, like you said, a microwave family. It doesn't happen that fast.
No, it's so worth it.
And I think that that's very important. And so when you get to your wit's end and you think, oh my gosh, I just don't know if I can do another day. Yeah, yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Because you're mom.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to find it within you and God to find the courage to take another day.
And it's all about them.
Yes.
Everything has to be about your child. Just like when we talked about discipline, this is not because my child embarrassed me.
Exactly.
This is all about changing them. Everything. Your mindset has to be what is best for my child,
right?
Even if it's uncomfortable for me.
Right.
And it does take a lot of time and training. Right. But you're the grown-up. You're the one that God has entrusted to do this.
So what would you tell to the parents out there, though, that might still have a child that hasn't come back yet? They haven't returned to the fold yet.
Mm-hmm.
How should they deal with that, and how can they pray these scriptures over their children?
Oh, it's so important. And don't lose hope, first of all, because the word says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. So do a little inventory, and if your heart is sick, stop right there. And ask the Lord for hope. Let hope arise. That's where we start. We go from hope to faith. Okay.
Right.
And so every situation is going to be a little different because it depends. Do you have a 17-year-old? Do you have a 15-year-old that's, you know, awry? Are they in your home? Are they 30 years old? Are they 50 years old? I mean, it makes a difference.
It does.
I say 50 years old. They're always your babies. Are they not always your babies?
Yes, always.
They're always our babies.
Always.
Doesn't matter. I have big babies and they have babies. So it's just, but it totally, I mean, there's a little bit of my answer that's going to vary that people will just have to apply to their own situation. But most importantly is have hope. Let that grow to faith. Okay. Stop looking at the circumstances. Okay. I love this. So, okay, here's what we do. This is so important. So the situation are facts. The fact is you've got a wayward child. Okay, that's a fact. The fact is they're rebelling. The truth is the word of God. The truth always overtakes facts if you have faith in the truth. Truth always trumps facts.
Right.
Facts are subjects to change or subject to change, but truth never changes.
Absolutely.
I'm telling you, mamas, daddies, get that bulldog, tenacious faith that says, I don't care what it looks like. I love the Shunammite woman. Okay, in the Old Testament, the Shunammite woman, she and I are going to have coffee in heaven. I'm telling you, I admire her so much because she had tenacious faith.
Yes.
And her tenacious faith was her son had died. Mm-hmm. And what came out of her mouth? It is well. Her husband said, why are you going to go see the prophet? The boy is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, it is well. The Gehazi, the servant of the prophet, comes out and says, how is the boy? He's dead. What comes out of her mouth? It is well. She gets to him and she's like, okay, now I'm coming back to who gave me the promise. She went back to the promise giver and she got a hold of the promise. She grabbed a hold of his feet to the point that the servant tried to pull her away. Mm-hmm. And Elisha said, no, stop. What's wrong? Go to the promise. Stick with the promise and let it trump the facts of your situation.
Absolutely.
True.
On that note, we do have to take a really quick break, but we will be right back. See you on the other side.
Have erroneous Bible translations hijacked the women's empowerment movement started by Jesus Christ? Skywatch TV is proud to present The Handmaiden's Conspiracy Collection. When you order Reverend Donna Howell's groundbreaking book, The Handmaiden's Conspiracy, and Allie Henson and Reverend Donna Howell's book, Dark Covenant, from the Skywatch TV store, you'll also receive the Dark Covenant Companion DVD. Packed with mind-blowing information on the Western Church undergoing a dark transformation into a cult. In the amazing book, The Handmaiden's Conspiracy, Reverend Donna Howell uncovers the cultural and historic backdrop behind Paul's words in the New Testament that correct the record on some of the most misinterpreted scriptures in modern history in relation to women, their leadership role in the church, and helps you understand properly what Paul was responding to when the epistles were written. In The Handmaiden's Conspiracy, you will follow the cultural and historic backdrop behind Paul's words in 1 Corinthians and 1 Timothy, the trouble verses in relation to the issue of women's leadership in the church. Discover what the original Greek nouns and adjectives meant in Paul's greeting orders, and meet the unsung heroines that Paul addressed as his co-workers in ministry, such as Phoebe, Priscilla, Junia, and several others. Reflect upon the women Jesus knew, both from Scripture as well as in person, and the groundbreaking permanent changes He made regarding their rights, their value, and their role in delivering His message to the world. Also included in this special offer, Allie Henson and Reverend Donna Howell's shocking written expose, Dark Covenant, which details how the masses are being groomed to embrace the unthinkable, while leaders of organized religion make a deal with the devil. In this jaw-dropping book, you will learn how the church is being groomed to embrace the unthinkable in preparation for the enforcement of the mark of the beast, how the true body of Christ is being slowly positioned to be considered a public enemy, with the Bible labeled as hate speech and possibly soon prohibited, how much of Western Christianity has actually become a cult, and what the true body of Christ can do to survive the modern assault on Christianity. But that's not all. In this must-have collection, you'll also receive the Dark Covenant Companion DVD. Join Reverend Donna Howell, Allie Henson, and the Skywatch TV investigative team for this original four-part series on DVD. This eye-opening expose is an essential teaching tool that is already sending shockwaves through the Western religious establishment and is certain to help ready the true remnant of God with the tools needed to navigate the coming days of persecution. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of over $70. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. Find out what Jesus truly thought of women's roles in the church and become equipped with knowledge and power to push back the powers of deception. This collection is available only while supplies last, so don't delay. The Handmaiden's Conspiracy Collection, available now at SkywatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Continuing our discussion on parenting with a purpose, and we were just talking about that children may stray, but then they also come from a good home. So it's the whole, but we were raised in the same home. Why is my sibling doing what they're doing, and they're doing bad things, but then they grew up in the same home that I did? How do you square that?
Well, I think we just touched on it right there, and it's that we treated them all the same.
Right.
I think that's the problem.
Okay.
Because we want to be fair in our home.
Right.
And I think this is a big problem that we have. And really one of the most ineffective ways, but we think we're doing the best thing. And right. I think if we'll stop and take a step back, let me just give you an example, and it might explain this better.
Okay.
And that is, if you're going to have a meal, and in that same meal, you're going to have a steak and you're going to have rice. Mm-hmm. What is the best way to cook a steak?
Grill it.
Probably on the grill, right? Mm-hmm. What's the best way to cook rice?
You boil it.
But what if I threw the rice on the grill with the steak? Or what if I boiled the steak with the rice? Because we're all the same, because I want to be fair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's really what we do as parents with the best of intentions, is I want to be fair in how we raise our children, so it's all going to be the same.
Yeah, the rules are same across the board.
And to that point, I'm not saying that you have to have different rules, because your rules are your rules for good reason, because
right.
you base those on the Word of God. But every child is different.
Absolutely.
So the rules can stay the same, but how you relate that rule to that child, you have to know your child. And
absolutely.
What can you say and how can you say it? If you've had more than one child, you know God has a great sense of humor, because you feel like you know what you're doing, and then all of a sudden you got rice next to your steak. You know what I'm
yes.
saying?
Yes.
I remember when our girls were really little, one of them came in, and of course the other one was right behind her, you know, because there had been an offense. She says, "That's not fair." Well, my husband looked at her, and thank God for his wisdom, and he just simply said, "Nothing's fair." Mm-hmm. And they went, "What?" And he said, "In life, nothing is fair. We don't deal that way in our home." You know what my girls did? "Oh, okay." And off they went. And then I would hear them actually telling it to each other when one of them would say, "Well, that's not fair." "Well, nothing's fair." Okay. And we were done. We were done with that. You know, so I'm telling you, it's great. So don't make that mistake of raising them all the same.
Right.
Get to know your child. What are their interests? Don't just, a lot of parents say, "Well, I love cars, so I'm going to take my son out and teach him all about cars." Well, maybe your son really loves basketball.
Right.
And you don't. Well, guess what? it's not about you, it's about them.
Right.
You need to learn something about basketball
right.
to relate to that child. And putting ourselves out there like that will pay off so much in the end.
Absolutely, it will.
I would like to tell you a little synopsis of some people that I know. They have three children. The mom and dad, they were good parents. They raised their kids together. There was one of these three children that decided they just are not going to listen to the rules, constantly in and out of trouble, in and out of juvenile, all the way up through all his later years in life, and is still choosing to do bad. What would you say to the parents who are still waiting for that child to come home?
Right. Well, there are some certain basics that are the same no matter what the age is. And like we just talked about earlier, we always pray the scriptures, whether those children are in your home or if they're 50 years old and not in your home anymore. But I do think that we need to talk about free will,
mm-hmm.
that God has given all of us a free will. Mm-hmm. And especially as an adult outside of the parent's home, his free will determines his future. Now, do we quit praying mm-hmm. about that? No. We maybe tweak our prayers. Mm-hmm. You know, Lord, send laborers across his path. Mm-hmm. Send someone to show him the light, someone that he will listen to.
Right.
Right.
Can speak on his level.
Exactly. Someone that can relate to him. Because sometimes that's not going to be family.
Right.
But the yeah. Lord knows who it's going to be. And so we pray that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers across mm-hmm. their path to draw them to the truth and the knowledge of Christ. We pray that the Holy Spirit hovers over them, because nobody comes to the Father except that the Holy Spirit draws them.
Right.
So we ask the Holy Spirit to constantly do that. And we pray those scriptures, we stand on the other scriptures that we had talked about. But again, it's so important, because condemnation never does anything.
No, it doesn't.
Never anything good.
Right.
Okay. No. So if you find yourself in that position, don't let condemnation and, oh, I should have, and I know exactly what you're talking about. We all do. We could all say that we know somebody in this situation. And I've talked to that mother, and that mother always goes back, oh, well, when he was 16, I should have done this. Or living in the past is not going to help. That's exactly where Satan wants to keep you.
Yes.
He wants yeah. to isolate you as a parent. He wants to show you all the things you did wrong.
Yes.
None of that is God's plan.
Absolutely.
I know we've mentioned it a lot, but it's so true. We need it so much in parenting, and that is God's grace and his mercy.
Absolutely.
And why in the world did the word say that his mercy is new? How often?
Every
morning. Mm-hmm. God knew we were going to need that.
Yes.
Live
yes.
in the mercy and the grace of God. Find out what the word says. Stand on the word and do not allow yourself to be condemned.
Absolutely. Yes, Lord. And we are completely out of time, but haven't you guys enjoyed this series?
Yeah.
It's been incredible. Deanne, thank you so much for being here. We have so enjoyed this.
It's my pleasure.
And I really hope that you'll agree to come back and do this again with us very soon.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. We'll see you again next time in the Simply His Coffee Shop.